So would you please join me in our prayer for illumination? Let us pray. Creator God, you remind us that the darkness of ignorance and doubt cannot overcome your life-giving word. May your Holy Spirit, who first inspired these words of Scripture, shine your light and once again awaken us to the hearing and living of this radiant truth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. The first reading is from the book of Joel, which may be found on page 1415 in your pew Bible or on the screen. Second chapter, verses 12 to 13 and 28 to 29. Even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting and weeping and mourning. Rend your heart and not your garments. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and abounding in love, and he relents from sending calamity. And afterward, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. A reading from the New Testament, Luke chapter 11, page 1614 in your pew Bible, verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This has been the readings from God's Word.
Let's bow our heads together in prayer. Almighty God, may the words of my mouth, the meditations of our hearts, be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I appreciated Ruth's children's sermon very much. Made me think about my own gift-giving and getting experiences over the years. I remember one year being at my aunt and uncle's house, and there was this huge box with my name on it. And as I approached it to bring it over to the place in the room where I was going to be setting up, you know, my gift opening experience, I figured that I needed help with this box. And so I asked a couple of adults to help me move it. And my uncle said, oh no, you'll be able to get it on your own. So I pick up this big box, and it is light as a feather, almost as if there's nothing in it at all. So I got it over and put it down, and when it came time to open that gift, I unwrapped the wrapping paper and opened up the box, and inside of it were packaging peanuts, thousands of packaging peanuts. And so I began to dig around in the box, and packaging peanuts are flying all over the place, and I can't find anything inside of this box. So I keep digging through it, and finally my uncle says, well, why don't you just tip it upside down? He obviously was not the one who was going to be cleaning up Christmas after this was all done. So that's exactly what I did. I, you know, dump it out, and the packaging peanuts are flying everywhere, and there is a little card inside of the box. And on the card was a one-year subscription to Sports Illustrated for Kids, which would have fit in this tiny little envelope. And yet it comes in a much different looking package. Sometimes the gifts that we receive are not the gift that we are expecting to receive. Sometimes our expectations and reality are not necessarily met with one another. Over the last couple of weeks, my family and I were traveling throughout the Midwest, and on one evening, we took the kids to Bass Pro Shops, and Santa Claus is there, the winter wonderland. And my son was playing with a remote-controlled truck there, and he really, really loved it. And so I said, well, tell Santa that you want the remote-controlled truck. So he did. He was very brave, stood by Santa, and told him about the truck, only in horror to have us walk out of the Bass Pro Shops without the truck. And he was furious, and he was crying, and he was sobbing. Terrible parents, obviously, you know, for not buying the kid the truck. Of course, we went to church that next Sunday, and the pastor was sitting down and talking to the kids about who comes at Christmas time. And what did both of my kids say right away with great enthusiasm? Well, Santa comes at Christmas time. Sometimes the Savior that we want is not the Savior that we need. Sometimes the gift that we are expecting is different from the gift that we actually receive. Of course, we're in this season of Advent, and Advent is a season of preparation, as I said at the beginning of our church service. And our culture would tell you that that preparation involves, well, a lot of different things. It involves getting all of your decorations set out. It involves making sure that you are at the store on Thanksgiving night or in the wee hours of the morning on the Friday after, or sitting down at your computer for Cyber Monday, perhaps flexing your generosity on Giving Tuesday. Seems like we're naming days and all sorts of things during this season of Advent, and yet somehow the culture missed out that last Sunday was Happy New Year for the church. Advent 1. When everyone else was busy making preparations, we in the church world are making preparations of our own. And what do those preparations look like for us as a church, as Christians? Well, today we're focusing in on the prophet Joel. And Joel talks about the coming day of the Lord, a day when old men will see visions, young men will dream dreams, men and women undoubtedly, and all will call upon the name of the Lord. And on that day, God says, I will pour out my Spirit upon people. What a wonderful image. What a wonderful gift. And Jesus says to his disciples, if your child asks for bread, do you buy them a snake instead? A poisonous viper to bite them? Obviously not. And so if you, as a parent, know simply what it is to give a good gift to your child, then how much greater of a gift giver is God than you are? How much more will God give you the gift of His Spirit when you ask for it? Of course, the gift of the Holy Spirit comes in unexpected ways, in unexpected packages. On the day of Pentecost, the disciples were told that they were supposed to wait in Jerusalem and that the Spirit would come to them, but they didn't expect the Spirit to come as the Spirit did, with the rush of a wind so mighty that all of the doors were blown open, all of the candles snuffed out, and the only flame lighting the room, the flame of the Holy Spirit, as it alighted on each person in the room. And as Peter proclaimed the good news of the gospel, all could understand it in their own languages, as if Peter was speaking directly to them. And on that day, 3,000 asked the question, "What then are we supposed to do?" And what did Peter say? "Repent. Believe. Be baptized. Follow." And 3,000 are added to their number. The first step for them was to repent. And that's what we are going to focus in on this morning. In the first section of Joel that Jeff read for us, God says through the prophet Joel, "Rend your hearts and not your clothing." So what does that mean? What is that supposed to mean for us? To rend our hearts and not our clothing. I would just like to see a quick show of hands. How many of you today physically made the clothing that you are wearing today? Did anyone knit the sweater that you're wearing today or sew it together? Did anyone make the fabric that it's made out of? Well, in the days that Joel is speaking to, garments are not simply bought and sold. They're not easy to make. The Industrial Revolution obviously has not happened yet at this point. Right? The city of Patterson is still dreamed of, you know, 2,000 or 3,000 years in the future, right? There's no textile industry to be spoken of. So the garments are handmade, painstakingly made, and it takes many days, many months to make even a single shirt, to make even a single cloak. And so it would not be at all uncommon for a person to have just one cloak or just a couple of garments that they would wear. And so, a show of repentance often was to actually tear that piece of clothing, that most valued of possessions, to physically tear it at the seams, to rip it apart, to show just how sorry you were. When we studied the story of Jonah, if you can remember, all of the people in the city of Nineveh, when Jonah preached his little pathetic sermon, repented. And as a show of repentance, they tore their clothes and sat down in sackcloth and ashes. But as visible showings sometimes do, for the people of Israel, it was not at all uncommon for them to make visible signs of repentance without having those signs actually sink in to change how they were living their lives. And so God says through the prophet Joel, dispense with the big physical shows. Change your life. Rend your heart and not your garments. Turn away from your evil ways and turn toward me. The word in Hebrew for repentance is teshuvah. Can you say that with me? Teshuvah. Literally means make a U-turn. Turn around and go in the other direction. So imagine yelling that at your kids or your animals when they're doing the wrong thing. My kids don't speak Hebrew, neither does my dog, unfortunately. But turn around. Go in the other direction. Make a U-turn. Change your ways. The pathway that you are heading down is the wrong one. John the Baptist, who is often spoken of in this season of Advent, says, "Prepare the way of the Lord and make straight paths for him." But too often, the paths that we make are ones of our own making. Too often, we go the way that we would like to go, the way that's most comfortable, the way that will give us the greatest pleasure, the way that will give us the greatest success, as we define it in ourselves. But the prophet Joel says, the way you're going, the way of comfort, the way of success, the way of pleasure, is not my way. You're headed down the wrong path. And that path is either a dead end, at best, or at worst, it leads toward a place of destruction. So don't go down that path. It looks good right now. But turn around. Go in a new direction. Go in the way that I will show you. And on that day, I will pour out my Spirit upon you. Your old men will see visions. Your young men will dream dreams. That other path might look good, but the path that God has for us is a path that brings with it hope. Hope of something deeper. Hope of something more. Hope of more than just carnal desires and satisfactions that are bound in today. Who of us doesn't want a life filled with meaning and purpose? No one simply wants to be a cog, simply a gear and a watch to make things go around and around and around without any other purpose than that. We want more out of life. And when we ask for more, God promises to give it to us. Not always in the package that we would have expected, but by the pouring out of God's Spirit, which brings with it new adventures, new journeys, danger, intrigue, suspense. The life lived on this road with God is not boring, but it's filled with life and meaning and purpose. And how much better is that than some old story that we live in over and over and over again? The season of Advent is familiar to us. There are familiar stories, and yet embedded in those stories are the hope that tomorrow is different than today. The hope that the things that we are hoping for, the gift of the return of Jesus Christ, is right around the corner. And we can see signs of it today. We see signs of it in our own lives, and we're living testimonies to the fact that the Holy Spirit is at work in us if we just give God a chance to use us in that way. God has promised this Spirit And the only thing that we need to do is to turn around. Go the other way. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. And believe in God. In a few moments, we will gather around the table of our Lord as an expression of that indescribable gift of God in our faithful Savior, God's Son, Jesus Christ. We'll eat of this bread, and we'll drink of this cup, and we'll do it together as one body, as but a foretaste of hope in our lives, that the Spirit of God will be with us as individuals and as a church, to be more than we have been, to be a beacon of hope for our world, for our community, to be a sign for our world of what God is doing. Thanks be to God for the gift of God's Spirit. Let us pray together. Almighty God, we thank you for the way that your Spirit is poured out among us when we put our faith and our trust in you. And we thank you that your Spirit is wild and unpredictable, that it causes us to do things that we didn't think that we were capable of doing, to see things that we have never seen before, to have visions and dream dreams of the way that you are at work in our lives. We put our faith and our trust in you, so much so, Lord, that we pledge to turn around and go in a new direction. Not the direction that the world would set before us, not the road that we would build for ourselves, but the road that you have laid out in front of us. Guide us and direct us. Be our compass and our guide as we go down that road. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And if you're able to stand, would you stand with me now as we profess our faith in the words of the Apostles' Creed? People of God, what do we believe? I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth. Born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate,